Okay, Justin and Timmy, why don't you come back here and sit with these boys? If you want to come over here. And Micah and Loyal, can you go back and join them on that bench? We have one volunteer from this bench to come join these people over here. Cameron? Okay. Nice. Okay, so why I have you split into three groups is because I wanted to sing a song, and I want to encourage each of you to participate. So we're going to have a competition. Competition in children's class. Can you believe it? Okay, so how many of you know I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart? Okay, it looks like all of you know it. Okay, so we're going to start over here. Then we're going to come to here, and then we're going to go to the back row. And when it's time to say where, they're going to say where. And the next time, you guys are going to say where, and the last time, you guys are going to say where. You understand? We're going to see who can say where the loudest. You got that? Okay, let's do it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Hey, that was lousy. You're going to make him sing better.
I know. I don't know what's going to happen, but somehow these people are going to have to learn how to sing.
Maybe they thought they were just supposed to say where.
Oh. Maybe they thought it was a solo with just them saying the where. Well, that's about what it was. Well, maybe next time we'll try harder. How many of you would be into having two lessons today? Okay, we're going to have two lessons because I couldn't come up with a good lesson that would take a long time, so I decided I'll have two mini lessons. I have a story here that's going to talk about our desires and what we want to be, what we want to be when we grow up. So it's a story about Sharon. Sharon and her mother were having a quiet talk. Something was on Sharon's mind, so she had watched for a chance to catch Mom by herself. Now the two sat together at the kitchen table, and Sharon was able to tell her all about it. Mom, how can I have more friends? She wondered. Any of you ever wonder that? How can I have more friends? You wonder that? Okay, listen to the story. I mean, I do have friends, but I wish I could have more like Mary Lou Raber. Everyone wants to be like Mary Lou and do what she suggests. She always has something funny to say, and she's right in the middle of everything. How many of you like to be the center of attention?
Me.
Yeah. It's a dangerous place to be. You mean that Mary Lou is a popular girl? Mom asked. Yes, popular is the right word, Sharon replied. She's so lively and exciting, and so pretty, too. Her voice trailed off. Mom smiled rather sadly. Sharon, I hope you are not seeking after the wrong things, after the wrong kind of popularity. Emily, pay attention, okay? Don't look around. What do you mean, Mom? Well, Sharon, it is good to be kind and friendly to everyone. A young girl should develop the skill of taking an interest in others and making them feel happy and at ease with her. So all of us should learn to be kind and friendly. That's a good way to have friends, okay? God does not want us to be aloof and self-centered, but popularity is a shallow and foolish thing. If it is based on prettiness, telling funny stories or always trying to be the leader of a group. Okay? So we don't, the way to have friends isn't by being pretty and having funny stories. Mom reached for her Bible and turned to the last chapter of Proverbs. "Here, Sharon, is what we should desire to be," she said. Verse 26. "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." Is Mary Lou always kind, Sharon? Or do the funny things she say put others down? Well, I guess she does do a lot of that, Sharon admitted. Everyone tries to stay on the good side of her so she won't make fun of them. You think making fun of people is a good way to have friends? Yeah, I'm surprised she had any friends. "That doesn't sound like a skill you should want to imitate," Mom said softly. Verse 30 says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Favor means charm and popularity, and the Bible tells us that that is deceitful. Sharon, I want to tell you a story of when I was a girl in the upper grades like you. There were a number of other girls in my class in those years, but I'm just going to tell you about two of them. Stephanie was a lively girl, very pretty and talkative, and very popular, and the popular type. She was like the queen bee. Everyone wanted to be around her, to follow her lead and laugh at her stories. I knew Stephanie was not always kind, nor did she respect the teacher like she should have. But still, I envied her. Even her name was so much more exciting than my plain, ordinary name. Then there was Ida. Ida was a more serious-minded girl. She was not so pretty as Stephanie, and quiet by nature. She was always ready to help others, though, and knew the right things to do when everyone was hurt, when anyone was hurt or in trouble. The little children in school loved her, and she often helped the lower grade teacher when her own work was done. Ida gave her heart to the Lord when she was in the seventh grade, and her life showed without any doubt that she was a true Christian. Some of the girls foolishly thought that she was too good. Ida was always kind and friendly, but she did not try to be the boss or get others to follow her. Stephanie acted in a silly way around the boys, trying for special attention from them, but Ida did not. She was always sensible. Even when children made fun of her, calling her Ida, Ho Potatoes, Ida just laughed along with them and did not get angry. My family moved away from that community when I was in the eighth grade, and I didn't get to finish the year with my friends there. In later years, though, I found out what had happened to my classmates as they grew up. Stephanie's story is not a happy one. When she was only 16, she ran away from home and married a boy who was not a Christian. When I met her again years later, she was no longer lively or pretty. She was wearing worldly clothes and smoking a cigarette, and I soon learned that she had been divorced from her husband. What a sad, lonely life Stephanie has now. Truly, favor was deceitful and beauty was vain, without the fear of the Lord. Ida is now a minister's wife, with a nice family and children. She is very happy, and she is admired and respected by everyone who knows her. Ida wisely chose the right path to follow, even as a young girl, and she has been rewarded for it. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Sharon had listened soberly to her mother's story. "Do you think Mary Lou Raber will turn out to be like Stephanie?" she asked fearfully. "I hope not," Mom answered. "Mary Lou has good parents who will try to guide her in the right way. But I hope she can be helped to see the folly of seeking after shallow popularity. Because the choices she makes now and the habits she forms..." Emily, you should look at me, okay? Don't look at other people. "The choices she makes now and the habits she forms will affect her life in years to come." Sharon thought deeply that afternoon. The talk with her mother seemed to have opened up a new window for her to look through, a window that made her look far out into the future. Sharon had always known that window would be there, and someday she would need to look through it. Someday she would need to decide for herself, to choose what kind of person she wanted to become. But was someday already here? Was Mom right when she said that her habits and choices now were making her into the woman she would be? In the evening, the Millers gathered to read their last chapter of Proverbs. The circle of lamplight glowed warmly, and the children were very quiet as Dad read aloud. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth out her hand to the needy. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Dad paused and turned to smile at his wife. A look of love passed between them, shining almost as brightly as the lamp itself, Sharon thought. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all, Dad repeated tenderly. Truly the Lord has blessed me with a virtuous Christian wife. Sharon's breath caught in her throat. The view from that window was clear now. She no longer had any doubt which way she would choose. What was empty popularity worth compared to the true honor and praise which a godly woman earned? I will be wise like Ida and like Mother, Sharon decided. And peace filled her heart. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So I realized, I think we have more boys at children's class than girls, but the story was about a girl. You think you boys can take a lesson from the story about a girl choosing the right way? I think you can. Men are supposed to be leaders, and so they're supposed to be examples. So if the girls are supposed to learn from someone, they need to learn from the boys. So that's the first story. The second story is a story from my own life, and I hope you can relate to it. I'm not sure. I still feel like I'm learning it myself. But this week, I felt a little bit like Job. Monday, I woke up and I was sick. And I was throwing up, couldn't go to work, didn't know what I was going to do. And then Tuesday, I was like, okay, I'm feeling better, I'm going to go back to work. So we worked hard and we set truss on Tuesday, and Wednesday we started putting plywood on. I came home from work on Wednesday and all of a sudden I was just like itchy all over. And when the Bible says that Job had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, I know what that feels like now. And I also told someone else, I think I know what it's like to have an addiction, because I knew that scratching my sores was not going to be helpful, but I just couldn't help it. Like, I just had to do it. And what I had, they call hives. And I don't know, from what I read on it, it can last up to 6 weeks. I sure hope it doesn't do that. But so Thursday was really bad. I couldn't work. Friday, I worked the afternoon, was still pretty itchy. Yesterday, I wasn't too bad at all. So it seems like I'm being able to get it under control. But I was thinking about what it's teaching me and was realizing that I think I'm going to have more compassion for people. Because as we endure hard things, if we have something hard in our life, it gives us something to look at when we see someone else facing something that's hard. So an example is, yesterday we went over to visit our neighbor who we had heard was going to the hospital, but he was back at his house again, and he's in a lot of pain, and he has a sad life. He has blood on his fingers and on his toes. Seems like he doesn't take a shower pretty much ever. I'm not sure how long it's been since he had one. And I was just thinking about how hard it is to feel for people like that. It's like, why don't they just enjoy life instead of making it miserable? But we can't always choose the part of life that we experience. But we can choose to rejoice in it, and we can choose to care for other people when they're facing hard things. So I realize as children, it can feel like you have a lot of experience, but from an old person's perspective, your life is very short. And so the opportunity that you have for hard things in your life is going to be shorter. Can any of you think of something that you faced that was hard? Making breakfast is hard. That can be hard. How about eating breakfast when you're wanting to go play? That can be hard too. Yeah. So one of the things that when I was some of your ages, that I faced that I thought was hard was I had a tooth that was that needed pulled out, and my dad decided it was time to come out. So he pulled it out, and it hurt a lot. And I think even if you fall down and hurt yourself, I want to encourage you to, every time that you experience pain, to think about that there's other people that are experiencing pain and other people that will, and try to look for ways to help other people. Does that make sense? Okay, well, that's my two lessons. I hope you can learn from them, and I'll put a little plug out there. I heard that someone is going to ask you about this lesson. So try to remember this lesson as long as you can. That makes sense? Okay, you can go back to your parents.